Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I welcome you to today's episode, the third of four parts of the episode covering the lectionary assigned texts for the fifth Sunday of Easter, May 14th, 2017. So today we are going to hit the third lectionary text. That's what happens when you try to say two words at once. You make up new words. The third lectionary text. It is the second New Testament reading assigned for this week. And before we get to that, I want to open with what I've been asking you during this season of Easter, which is, where have you been seeing resurrection? Where have you been seeing new life in the world around you? And today I have something to share with you. It's a little vague because it's not something that is set in stone. It's just a possibility, but it's a possibility that gives me hope. So I have something coming up that might give me the opportunity to share my faith with others in a new way. It's a little scary, as new things often are, but it's also exciting. And as I said, it does give me hope. I am looking forward to seeing where this opportunity might take me, or at least where I will go in pursuit of this opportunity, because as I said, it's not set in stone. It's still out there in the universe, still something that I'm working toward, but I'm excited to see what God has in store for me, if this is where God might be leading me on another part of my journey in faith to share my faith with others. So I have hope in that, and hope, of course, is a sign. You know, that's something that I see as part of the resurrection. The resurrection gives us hope. Hope can give us new life. We can see what new life can give us hope. It's a circle. It's a cycle. So I would ask that you, if you are so inclined, if you would be willing to pray for me on this new portion of my journey, I would greatly appreciate that. I appreciate all of the prayers that come from various parts, various people in my life, and I do believe in the power of prayer. So if you would just pray for me that I would be able to discern where God might be leading me on this journey, I would really, really appreciate that. And as always, I would love to pray for you as well. I know I talk about social media a lot, but it really is the best way to find me. And if you want to leave a comment on the podcast, leave a comment on Bible verses that you love or that you struggle with or whatever it might be, I would love to hear from you. If you have answers to some of the questions that I ask, you know, where you see resurrection, etc., I would really love to hear from you. So I know I say it a lot, but honestly, if you want to come and find me on social media, you can do so and leave me comments, questions, whatever it might be. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram, GSMC Bible Study. Probably easiest on, Instagram you can leave comments on as well. And I post daily Bible verses on Instagram that correspond with the texts of the week that are assigned for whatever week I am posting for. So if you like daily inspirational verses, or if you like verses that give you a little bit of a visual for the things that we're talking about in this podcast, come find me on Instagram, and you can definitely leave comments there as well as on Facebook and Twitter, and I will find them and I will reply to them. All right, so on to the text that is assigned for today, and that is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And again, that is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10, assigned for this week of the fifth Sunday of Easter. And there's a lot going on in these eight verses. There's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of metaphors. There's just a lot that is packed into these eight verses. And we might want to spend some time unpacking these verses just to see what's going on in them, because as I read through them, I was thinking, wow, there's so many visuals in these eight verses. And I ask you a lot, but I ask you again now, what did you hear when you heard these verses? What jumped out at you? What was there that you hadn't thought of? Or did you hear something differently than you have heard in the past when you've read these verses or heard these verses? If this is the first time for you hearing these verses, what did you think? Did they seem comforting? Did they seem strange to you? Did they seem what? I would love to know your answer to these questions. So the first verse, verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. So, like newborn infants, we are told to be like newborn infants in our longing for spirituality. So, as newborn infants, obviously they need milk to live, whether that's mother's milk or formula or however they need to go about getting their nourishment, but they need to do it often, right? Newborns are, if not constantly hungry, they're hungry on a very regular basis. So that's what we are being told here in this first verse. And I find it a really interesting metaphor because in faith, we kind of are like newborn infants, right? We continue to learn and grow in our faith. But when it comes to our faith, sometimes we're still like newborn infants. We still don't see the entire picture. We still don't understand everything there is to understand about God, about our relationship with Jesus, about the promises that God makes us, about the Bible as a whole. Many of us are at various points along our journey in this. Some of us really are like newborn infants, having just come into our relationship with God. Some of us have been in relationship with God for decades and have taken that time to study and learn more. But when it comes to down to it, in relationship to God, we really are like newborn infants, because how can we understand everything that God understands? How can we understand the universe as vast as it is? So I like this imagery. And then it's telling us that like newborn infants, those newborn infants who long for milk, we should be like newborn spiritual infants, and we should long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by that longing, we might grow into salvation. And then, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And we hear that phrase a lot, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. There is a hymn that you may sing in your church or your tradition. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And there's a lot of different ways that you can interpret that verse. Here, of course, it's referring to that spiritual milk. When we feed on that spiritual milk, when we take that spiritual milk into our bodies, it helps us to grow strong. It helps us to grow in our relationship to Christ and God. It helps it to nourish us in our faith and helps give us strength for our faith journey. I also, when I think of that phrase, taste and see that the Lord is good, it makes me think of communion. It makes me think of the bread that we are given at communion, the wine that we are given at communion, because we experience that with our senses, right? We experience everything through our senses, and taste is one of the senses that we experience at communion. So we taste that bread, we taste that wine. Sometimes it's bread we don't really care for, sometimes it's wine that we don't really care for, right? Every church is different, and you may go to a church and say, oh, that was really good stuff, or you may go to a church and say, not so fond of that bread and or that wine. Doesn't matter. You're still tasting. You're still using all of your senses to engage in worship. And of course, the taste is not the point. The point is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can taste and know that God is good, because God has given us these promises. God sent Jesus to us to give us this new understanding of what it is like to be in relationship with God. So we're going to talk more about this reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10, but we are going to take our first break. Stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Today we are talking about the text assigned for this week from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. And I was just speaking before the break about the first two verses, verses 2 and 3, that talk about us as newborn infants who are longing for the spiritual milk that will help us to grow into salvation. And I want to move on from that imagery and look at some of the other imagery, because it then shifts in verse 4 to this idea of living stone. So come to him, come to God, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then it says, for it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So what this was reminding me of as I was reading it, obviously there's this imagery of living stone, that we are to be living stone, which sounds a little bit strange, right? But it's a metaphor for us as the church. That's how I see it, that we are being built into a spiritual house. We are being built into this community of followers and brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the living stones that comprise that community. It's not necessarily the building, where, you know, it's not so important where we worship, as that we worship, and that we worship in community, that we create these spiritual places of community and of a body of Christ, a family of God. And then we are a holy priesthood. We offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. And I don't see those as sacrifices like we hear about in the Old Testament. You know, none of us really do that anymore with the animal sacrifices. But spiritual sacrifices are a different thing. Spiritual sacrifices are doing that work in the world that we have been called to do, going out into the world, doing God's work, using our hands to do God's work in this world. And that's how I see that. And then so we ourselves are the bricks, the stones that build up the body of Christ, that create this spiritual house, this spiritual place of worship, or this spiritual home for our family, our community in God. And then we get the verse about the cornerstone, and we have heard this before in this Easter season. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, and of course that is Jesus. Jesus, who was rejected by his own people, who was rejected by society at large, who was betrayed and crucified, actually becomes then the cornerstone of this new church, this new way of being in the world in relationship with God. Of course, Jesus is that cornerstone. And we too can be that cornerstone because we are chosen and precious. That's what it says, a cornerstone chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame, which actually makes me think about yesterday's psalm. And if you remember, that psalm was Psalm 31, and in it the psalmist was talking about the despair that he or she was feeling in their life, that they felt as though they were ostracized by society. They were in physical pain, but they were also in spiritual pain. There was just a lot of despair happening in the author of this psalm's life, and yet the author of the psalm is very trusting and expressive of that trust in God. The psalmist writes that God is a refuge, that you are indeed my rock and my fortress. That's in verse 3 of that psalm. And then later in the psalm, in verse 17, it says, "Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you." So there are very similar themes in this psalm from yesterday as there are in this reading from 1 Peter, the idea of not being put to shame, of God being a rock and a foundation. So the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. But the cornerstone, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. I see that as a definite tie-in to yesterday's psalm with the plea of, "Do not put me to shame, O God, because you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my stronghold." And now we get that same imagery here in the reading for today from 1 Peter. So then it moves on to stumbling, stones that make us stumble. And that they, it says they, whoever they is, but they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. Well, then it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's own people." Now, remember, as we've been reading through 1 Peter, we're now in chapter 2, but we've been reading through the book of 1 Peter for a few weeks now, and the letter of 1 Peter was written to the communities in Asia Minor. These are the new communities of the church who are forming in the first century. They are young communities. They are still finding their place in the world. They feel as though that they are most often are ostracized in society, and yet the author of 1 Peter reminds them over and over again that they have been made a new family in the family of God. They have been given this sense of unity. And now hear these words in verse 9. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." You are God's own people, the author is telling the communities, which must have been an incredible and profound statement for a community who felt as though they did not belong in the society in which they lived, in which they felt as like outcasts, and the laws didn't always support them because they were often immigrants, etc. You are God's own people, the text says, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. So it's not that they weren't people per se. They weren't a people. They weren't this united group because they were, of course, a disparate group. This is a group of this is a group that came together. Some Jews, many Gentiles, many people who had come from other places and who didn't feel as though they belonged in the communities of which they lived. And then suddenly they hear the words of Christ. They hear words from the followers of Jesus. They become this new family. They go back to their own towns and communities and start telling people about this. And suddenly where they weren't a people, where they may have felt as like outcasts in the places where they were living, now they have this new family. Now they are God's people. They have been given a new identity in Christ. And then it concludes with, "Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So as I said, there's a lot going on in these 8 verses. There's a lot of imagery. There's a lot of metaphors. But you can understand, or you can imagine, how comforting these words probably felt and sounded to this young community, to this group of people who were new to the faith, who were trying to figure out what this community would look like, what their new relationship with God meant. And they hear these words from the author of 1 Peter reminding them over and over again that they are a unified body of Christ. They are a family of God. They are children of God, brothers and sisters to one another, and suddenly, instead of being outcasts, now they have found a home. They have found a spiritual home. They have found a physical home with each other. They have found family where they may or may not have had family before. And I think it's just really beautiful imagery, really comforting imagery that we're presented with in these verses. But I love especially, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. No matter what happens in our life, we are God's children. We are beloved children of God. As I remind you and myself at the end of every podcast, you are a beloved child of God. You are now a part of God's people. And maybe your whole life you've been a part of God's people, but we all need those reminders because, like the psalm, like the community of First Peter, there are times when we are going to feel rejected. We are going to feel like outcasts in the society around us. We are going to feel out of place with the culture around us. We might even feel out of place with our own group of friends or with our coworkers or with our own families. And yet we are children of God. We have a place in this world. And we are called then to go out into the world and proclaim the mighty acts of God and share God's love with each other to make sure that other people know that they too are God's people, that they are brothers and sisters in Christ. They are children of God. So we do have to take our second break, but when we come back, we'll be concluding this episode or this part of the episode on 1 Peter 2, verses 2 through 10. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the assigned reading, the New Testament assigned reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. And I want to turn now to some commentary on this text. And the commentary comes from Janine K. Brown, professor of New Testament at Bethel Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And she is talking about how this, in chapter 2, Peter grounds what he has been talking about in who believers are. So she said that by the time we have reached the second chapter of the letter of 1 Peter, we've already heard five major exhortations that begin the body of this letter. So in the first chapter, we've heard five exhortations. She says believers are called to hope in verse 13 of chapter 1, to be holy in verse 15, to be circumspect, in their living, verse 17, to love one another deeply in verse 22, and then now at 2 verse 2, to desire what will bring about their growth, especially the Lord Jesus himself. And she says this is with a nod to Psalm 34 verse 8. And that's in chapter 2, verse 3, that nod comes. She says, now after this litany of actions to pursue, and I'll say those again, to hope, to be holy, to be circumspect in their living, to love one another deeply, to desire what will bring about their growth. All of these things, she says, are grounded in who believers are. So now the author of 1 Peter turns to the issues of identity in verses 4 through 10. So we get for issues of identity in these images of living stone, etc. So Peter seems, she says, intent on transforming his beleaguered audience, not simply by telling them what to do, but more deeply by reshaping their identity in line with their Lord and their new heritage. And he begins with a potent image of stones being built into God's temple. She says, in this word picture, Jesus is the living stone whom these believers have embraced and in whom they have found their hope. Jesus is also the cornerstone rejected by people, but of greatest value to God. The connecting point for Christian identity comes in verse 5. You yourselves are being built like living stones into a spiritual temple. And she says that is the Common English Bible translation, so it sounds a little bit different than what we just read, but the same idea. The follower, she says, is being made into the image of the master, and the followers together are being built into God's temple to offer up spiritual sacrifices. The image set, she says, is complex and beautiful. Rather than viewing true worship as what happens in the temples to various gods spread across the cities of Asia Minor, Peter draws on this image of stones, suggesting that acceptable worship arises in small house church communities of Jesus followers scattered across this region, where these quote-unquote stones gather together to proclaim their allegiance to Jesus the Messiah. And so this is kind of what I was talking about earlier. Instead of places of worship, instead of focusing on where we worship, we focus on how we worship. We focus on how we become the living stones that create the places of worship. And she goes on to say that Peter is not yet finished in this metaphor. As believers, we are made in the image of the Lord. They also participate in the value God has placed on the cornerstone, Jesus. Though he was rejected, the final word drawn from the Old Testament scripture about Jesus is not rejected, but instead valuable and chosen. Believers share in that verdict from God, even as they are currently rejected and maligned by their neighbors who do not yet believe. Peter writes that God honors those who believe in the cornerstone, even those who did not believe, even as those who did not believe end up stumbling over that very same stone. And she says this references Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, if you want to look that up, stumbling over the very same stone. So one of the striking features of 1 Peter is how often the Old Testament shows up in a letter that is, by all accounts, written to Gentile believers in Jesus. So far in this passage, we have heard at least 4 references to different Old Testament passage from both Psalms and the book of Isaiah. In the concluding verses, the author draws from Exodus, Isaiah, and Hosea to ground the Gentile audience in the identity of Israel, God's covenant people. So there's a lot going on in these verses, right? There's all of this imagery. There's all of this wonderful imagery of both spiritual growth and being the living stones that create the temple in which we worship, being the same as Jesus, being grounded in that identity that though Jesus was rejected, in the end, he was actually valuable. He was chosen. We are also valuable and chosen, even when the world around us might feel like it is rejecting us, or it is, in fact, rejecting us. And then for these words of 1 Peter, for the author of 1 Peter to try to ground this audience in the identity of Israel, in God's chosen people, the children of Israel, to help them to have that spiritual depth that is exhibited in the Hebrew Testament, to make sure that they understand all of where they are coming from, because it didn't just start with Jesus. It didn't just start right there. Jesus was the turning point where we were given a new opportunity to be in relationship with God, where the relationship with God was now opened up to more than just the Israelites, to Gentiles and also to people of all backgrounds. We are now given this new relationship, and yet it is grounded in that spiritual relationship. It is grounded in the scripture, the Hebrew scriptures, in the promises that God made to the Israelites. That's all important, and that is all highlighted in 1 Peter. These 8 verses, I'm just astounded at how much is in these 8 verses. It's so dense. It's so rich. You could spend a lot more time studying these 8 verses, studying this book and seeing where it takes you. And you may want to do just that. I have never really thought as much about these verses as I have as we've been studying them the last few weeks. And I'm really excited that I've had this chance to see this book in a new way. So that is all the time that we have for today. I do want to thank you for joining me as we discussed 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. I hope you will join me tomorrow as we move on to the gospel reading, the final of the four texts assigned for the fifth Sunday of Easter. That is from John 14, verses 1 through 14. So we'll be discussing that tomorrow. As always, a reminder, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and any app that you might use for your mobile device. And again, you can find me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, GSMC Bible Study. I would love to hear from you. I'm not nagging. I would just love to hear from you. So thank you again for joining me. Please join me again tomorrow as we conclude the fourth part of this episode. In the meantime, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.